We're going to be really focusing this morning on the passage from Isaiah. And so you may want to look that up as we follow through those 13 verses which make up chapter 55. And you'll find them on page 696 in the Pew Bibles. And we're going to make our way through that whole chapter together, chunking it up and looking at each section together. But first, a question: how is it with your soul? That is the question which John Wesley would ask at the beginning of every one of his small group gatherings. For those of you who are not familiar with who John Wesley is, he was an 18th century Anglican priest, but he was more famous as the founder of the Methodist movement. And he was an evangelist and a preacher who travelled the country preaching the gospel to thousands of people on the streets and forming societies which would convert and disciple people in the Christian faith, maturing them in their love of Jesus. The Methodist movement had a real emphasis on holiness, holiness of heart, holiness of life. And these societies formed these small groups called bands, a little bit like our life groups perhaps. And they would meet on a weekly basis to pray and to worship and to discuss together the spiritual condition of their hearts. And although those topics, the topics of their discussions varied, that opening question was always the same. How is it with your soul? Was how they would begin. It's such a deep, such a personal question, isn't it? It really cuts to the core right from the beginning. Perhaps in our small groups, we're maybe more used to starting with the lighter topics and then moving towards something deeper. That's often how we discuss things, isn't it? We start with some small talk and then we go deeper. Not so with Wesley. He cut to the core straight away. What they were talking about in these small groups, these bands, was deep and serious and personal. And I want to suggest that this morning, this passage from Isaiah chapter 55, as we continue our journey through Lent, asks us that same question: how is it with your soul? Are things as they should be? Are they as you hope they could be? I think this passage draws out that question and goes some way to inviting us to respond to it and suggests how we might do so. So this morning, I've got a few points, all beginning with R, as we go through. So if you can remember them all, I won't promise prizes, but you can have some sort of accolade at the end if you can remember all of the R's as we go through. The first invitation from the passage is to reflect. That question, how is it with your soul, is asking those small groups to reflect on how they really are. How are you really doing? The passage invites us, doesn't it, in verse 1 and 2, to think: are we hungry? Are we thirsty? Everyone who thirsts, come to the water. Is there a hole in your soul? Perhaps the more modern question goes. I suspect for many of us, when we ask really how we're doing, we'll find actually that we are hungry and we are thirsty. And perhaps Lent is a season when we can reflect on what's really behind those nagging dissatisfactions, those emptinesses and agitations that we find in our life. They're our soul's response, I think, often, to the situations of the broken world in which we live, and our own human brokenness, which we experience every day. How is it with your soul? Let's be really honest with ourselves and with God as we begin thinking about how we might respond to this passage from Isaiah. Are we thirsty people? Are we hungry people? Do we sense in us an emptiness and a longing, an agitation? Hunger and thirst alert us, don't they, to a physical need for food and for water. And if we don't respond to those prompts, it leads us to physical death. So too with our spiritual hunger and our spiritual thirst. If you feel it, don't ignore it. Is there a hunger and a thirst in your soul? The passage invites us to reflect. So that's our first R, reflect. Well, for those of us who do find that when we reflect, we are hungry, we are thirsty, there is an emptiness and an agitation in our soul which prompts us to respond, the next, our second R, is return. Return to the Lord, to the one who provides us with that which satisfies. Come, says the Lord. It's his invitation. Return to God. And it says that your soul might live, that you might not die spiritually. Feed your soul. Come and eat and drink, that your soul might live. The solution to the hunger and thirst in our hearts, our spiritual hunger and thirst, is found in God. He is the only one who can provide us with the food which satisfies. He invites us to come and to behold, to incline our ear towards him, to listen to him, to eat this rich spiritual food, to drink this water which satisfies our thirst. Really, the cause of our hunger and our thirst is our distance and our disorientation from God, both ours personally and the world around us, the brokenness of the world. The Bible calls it sin and says that the cost of it is death. The solution to that problem is found in God. Return, says the Lord. Come back to me. Our third R, then, is repent. But I might suggest perhaps a bonus one, an alternative one, which is reorient. Reorient yourself. Turn towards God. Repent and turn towards him and begin your journey back towards him. Repent really means turn around. We heard it, didn't we, in Luke, in our passage from Luke. Unless we repent, unless we turn ourselves towards the Lord, we will perish, it says in Luke. Jesus says in Luke. In this season of Lent, are we finding that we are turning our lives towards God? Are we progressively becoming more aligned with the direction that which God sets? And if not, what's causing us to be turned away from the Lord? What's causing us to be distant from the Lord? Let's notice these things in our life. What's caused us to turn away? And what do we need to do to turn back? To repent means to turn around and travel in another direction. Where we're distant or where we're disorientated from God, let's turn toward him and begin our journey. Reset the course towards the Lord this Lent. Because the invitation from the Lord comes actually right at the beginning of the passage, doesn't it? Come, come, it says. It doesn't say sort yourselves out and then come. Perhaps when you're a little bit more on the right track. Perhaps when you've sorted out a few of the problems by yourself, then come back to the Lord. It says no. It says you are thirsty, come. You who are hungry, come, return to the Lord, and you will find yourself, as you turn towards him and make your way towards him, equipped towards a more righteous living. Our responsibility, really, is to notice where we are, to turn in the right direction, and to get going towards the Lord. This Lent, could we use this season to reset the direction of our lives towards the Lord, to begin our return to him where we have found ourselves distant from him? Let the wicked return, let the unrighteous return, so that God may have compassion on them. So that God may have compassion on them. How wonderful is that? Not so that God may punish them or cause them difficulty. Let them come to me, says the Lord, so that I can have compassion on them. we find ourselves, when we return to the Lord, not met with an angry God, but with a compassionate Father. But this love which we experience isn't a soft sort of love, which just says, oh, it's fine, don't worry about it. Actually, as we return to the Lord and we encounter that compassion that is uniquely found in him, God sets to work confronting the things which are wrong with our life and setting them right. Unpicking the parts of our lives which need unpicking. Deconstructing, some people might say, and reconstructing. By the power of the Spirit, God himself sets to work in us. Not through our own human effort, but by his Holy Spirit's work. He sets about reordering our life. The hymn said, didn't it? Take from our souls the strain and stress and let our ordered lives confess. Ordered in the way that the Lord has them ordered. It's not a process we will achieve very well at all by our own striving to reset our lives in the pattern that the Lord would have. But it is the gift of a compassionate God who will work with us to reset our lives in his pattern. As we come near to him, he begins to change us. He begins to take us apart and to put us back together in the way that we were supposed to be made all along. And that leads us to our fourth R. So we've had reflect, return, repent, and now rebuild. You can see in verses 8 to 11 that this is a different pattern that the Lord is wanting for our lives. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. God knows better than us. God knows better than us. We were saying that this week to the children at the Royal Kent School, that God knows best what is good for us, better than we know for ourselves. Rebuild your life, says the Lord, in the pattern that I have set out. If you dug beneath the surface of your life, if you looked at the building blocks and the foundations of your life, are there things that a structural engineer would be concerned about? Are there blocks that look a little bit dodgy? Maybe when we dig the soil, are the foundations a little bit, maybe not as deep as they ought to be? Well, God is in the building trade, actually. He wants to take apart the building blocks of our life and put them back together in the right and proper way, in the way that he designed us to be made. Both above and below the surface. Perhaps our life above the surface looks very good and properly made. Perhaps the problem is with our foundations. Or perhaps our foundations are quite well set, but there are a few blocks out of place which make the building of our life an unsteady and unstable place. Rebuild your life in the pattern the Lord sets out with him. God doesn't keep the plans, his building plans, a secret. He doesn't want to trick us or make it difficult for us to build our lives with him in the pattern that he set out. He set it all out before us in scripture and in Jesus, in prayer and amongst the community of faith. We see the pattern that God has for us set out. The Bible later, Paul in Romans says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Conform to a different pattern, not the pattern of the world. Be transformed and conform to the pattern that God has set out. Rebuild with him. Shape our lives in the pattern of his true life. Which leads us finally to our fifth R, which is rejoice. Going on from verse 12, which interestingly the lectionary cut out, but we re-included from verse 10 through to verse 13. Rejoice. The plans and the purposes, the patterns which God sets out for our lives are good, much better than anything we could plan or purpose for ourselves. By ourselves, we are hungry thirsty people. But with God, we are people who are richly satisfied. We are truly satisfied. You shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The plans that God has for his people when they return to him are joy and peace and satisfaction, all good things. So reflecting on where we truly are, how is it with our soul? Returning to the Lord, repenting, resetting the direction of our life, and rebuilding with God lead to rejoicing. God's purposes for humanity are good. They are joyful, they are peaceful, fulfillment, contentment. Yes, we know it in part now. We still live in a broken world, but one day we will know these things in full. Can you think of a time, perhaps, when you have glimpsed that kind of godly contentment in your life? That kind of deep, holy satisfaction? If so, let's thank God for that glimpse, for that memory. And let's be thoughtful about what led to it. What were the circumstances which led to that feeling of holy contentment, that godly satisfaction? If you've not experienced that in your life, then this passage reassures us that that is God's plan, that is God's purpose for us, and that when we begin on this journey, we will meet and encounter a God who, in the parable that Jesus tells of the prodigal son, is like a father who, when he sees his son coming over the horizon, starts running towards him. That's the kind of God who we will meet when we reflect on where we are and where we ought to be and begin our return to the Lord. The most important thing is knowing where we start our journey and where our journey will end, and navigating that path in between. So I'll end with the same question which I began with. How is it with your soul? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Well, come, says the Lord. Return to me and find food which satisfies and water which quenches your thirst. And then reflect with the Lord. Get going in that direction toward the Lord and rebuild our lives with the Lord, which will lead to this wonderful feast, a feast which God promises us. Joy and peace, contentment and fulfillment. A wonderful picture which we can know today in part and one day in full. So, those five R's, I'll run through them. There won't be a test, don't worry. Reflect, return, repent, rebuild, and rejoice. Excellent. Someone's rejoicing at the back. Brilliant, Adele, well done. Well, let me pray for us all this morning as we consider how we might begin this journey over Lent. Thank you, Father, that you are a God who invites us in your love into relationship with you. And wherever we find ourselves, you reach out to call us home. Thank you that we can never be too far gone to return to you. Help us to recognize our hunger and our thirst before you, and to respond today to your invitation to come, to eat and to drink. Give us encouragement as we turn towards you, and strength as we return to you and seek to build our lives in the pattern of your life. And might we experience the gift, your good gift of joy, as we find ourselves blessed with peace and contentment. And Lord, we pray that as we are transformed by you, we might shine for you in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.